According to a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel analysis of state background checks, handgun purchases rose 82% in Wisconsin in the days before and after Barack Obama's election as president. That's compared to the same period a year before. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 past 6 on this Tuesday, November the 18th. We'll talk with a guest this hour who says those who are buying up guns, accessories, and ammunition in big numbers these days have a right to be concerned, with Democrats in control of the federal and state governments. We will wonder if you agree or not. Are more gun controls on the way now? Or is this an unfounded fear? Do you want more restrictions on gun sales and ownership? Or do you think there are plenty of controls already in place? We'll take your calls for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Jim Fendry, director of the Wisconsin Pro-Gun Movement, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So do you think these fears are valid? People going to gun stores, buying guns and ammo in the fear that somehow they're going to be restricted more in the future?
Well, what they're doing is they're looking at the past history that President-elect Obama has, along with Vice President Biden. And in Illinois, and the Illinois legislature, and of course in Washington in the Senate, Barack Obama led some of the battles and voted for every piece of anti-gun legislation that ever came by. Joe Biden has long since taken over the role formerly held of Ted Kennedy as one of America's leading individuals against the private ownership of firearms, with Emanuel being placed as now as chief of staff. Remember, he was Clinton's gun czar. So I think people are realizing what's happening, and they're getting a little frightened.
Yeah, well, we heard, though, while it wasn't a dominant issue on the campaign trail, we certainly heard Barack Obama say more than once, "I am not going to take away your guns."
Well, that's what everybody says, but the old axiom is don't listen to the politicians, watch what they do. Just in dealing with anybody in life, we always watch to see what's their history before we can totally trust or expect what they're going to do next.
Yeah, can you give us an example of an anti-gun bill that Barack Obama and Joe Biden were pushing for?
Just about anything that you've ever heard of in Washington in many years. Joe Biden has always been at the forefront. He's always been one of the point men for gun control, regardless of what it is. And among the other things that have been talked about are such things as raising the excise tax 500%. To make the purchase of guns prohibitive in cost. There'd be the idea of bringing back the so-called assault weapons ban, which was really never a ban to begin with. There'd be the idea of limiting people to the purchase of one gun a month. There'd be the idea, it just goes on and on. We could fill the hour with the concepts that Biden and Obama have dealt with and have supported.
And apparently you're also you're concerned about a piece of state legislation as well that Assembly Democrats now might think is attractive?
Yes, but one thing I'd like to point out right away, Joy, it's not just Democrats. There are many, many pro-gun and pro-hunting Democrats, both in the state legislature and in Washington as well. And the National Rifle Association is always quick to point out that NRA does not mean the National Republican Association. Mm-hmm. The NRA supports people who are pro-gun and pro-hunting, regardless of their party. However, it seems whenever Democrats are in control of a House, much less the head of the government, a governor or a president, they tend to lean towards a platform of anti-gun. And in Wisconsin, a very good senator, he's a friend of mine, I like him well, he's one of the most dapper individuals in Madison, Senator Spencer Coggs out of Milwaukee, has introduced and had his legislation killed in the past sessions, and I'm sure will be reintroducing this again, and it's called a total ban on the private transfer of firearms. And that's all firearms, not just handguns. And what this bill did in the last session, and your listeners can check it by going to the legislative website and finding it under Senate Bill 25, I believe. What this bill did is it totally prohibited all private transfers of guns anywhere. They called it the Gun Show Loophole Bill, but it meant anywhere among any people, including father to son, husband to wife, and it was so extreme, Joy, that what it would have done is this, is if you and I were together at a shooting range, and I was shooting a 400-year-old flintlock pistol, and you said to me, Jim, I'd like to handle that gun and look at it for a minute. We couldn't have done it. We would have had to have left the range, gone to a dealer, both of us paid for background checks, and only after we had passed the background checks could I hand the gun to you, thereby giving you possession, albeit temporary, while you looked at it. So, and this is how extreme the bill was.
But certainly that does sound extreme, but the gun show loophole, the major intent of that is to make people go through background checks if you buy a gun at a gun show.
Well, supposedly it's true, but when we take a look at the gun shows, and I attend most of them in the state and many that are nationwide, we find that some 90-some percent of the people who are selling guns at gun shows are already federally licensed dealers, and every buyer is subject to the background check just as if they went to the store. Plus, some interesting data had been developed by the Department of Justice in a booklet published a couple of years ago dealing with criminals and trying to get their opinion on what they felt about gun laws per se, or if they went to gun shows. And it was some small, I think 0.6% actually went to gun shows to try to acquire firearms. And their attitude towards gun laws is that they, not surprisingly, just laughed at them. Gun laws had absolutely no effect on their ability to acquire guns, and certainly didn't in any way act as a prohibition for them to acquire guns.
We're going to check the weather forecast, and then we welcome your thoughts and questions about this issue for Jim Fendry, director of the Wisconsin Pro-Gun Movement. We're talking about gun sales surging amid fears that an Obama presidency will mean tougher gun laws. And our guest says he's worried that there are some bills at the state and federal levels that will restrict the right to bear arms. 1-800-642-1234 is our toll-free number, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 and a half minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, November the 18th. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 5, 45 years ago this week, President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in a motorcade in Dallas, Texas. After 5, Ben talks with a JFK historian whose new book, Legacy of Secrecy, says the mafia was behind the most infamous murder case in U.S. history. That's after 5 this afternoon. We are talking about a number of people buying guns and accessories after the election. Apparently, a lot of gun owners are fearful of an Obama administration and Democrats now in control of not only the federal government, but the state government. Are you concerned about that? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Our guest is Jim Fendry, director of the Wisconsin Pro-Gun Movement, and our first caller is Michael in La Crosse. Hi, Michael.
Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
I certainly can.
Yeah, I guess I get appalled by the media and how they call it the gun show loophole. I honestly don't think that there's any such thing as a gun show loophole. To those of us that legally like to collect and enjoy different types of firearms, I don't understand why we should suffer for, I guess, for the handful of criminals that are out there and I've been dealing with gun shows for well over 20 years, and I've never heard of any real crime that has ever come out of a gun show thing. And I guess I don't know quite how to say it, but I really don't understand why more laws are going to help us out anyhow. They're just going to destroy a hobby for a lot of us enthusiasts that really enjoy certain types of firearms, collecting them and using them, passing them on to a buddy or whatever. I know that's probably not the correct way to say it, but I don't quite know how else to put it.
Jim Fendry?
Well, certainly I agree with the caller, and I addressed that earlier in our conversation, Joy, that most of the people selling at the gun shows are already federally licensed dealers. This is just a ploy to appeal to people that don't know the issue by saying something that guns are coming to people without background checks and criminals at gun shows, and the facts are it just isn't true. Rarely do guns come to individuals through the gun shows themselves, but one thing, Joy, I'd also like to add, is in the beginning you had indicated that it was just a heavy purchase of handguns. Well, in reality, what's happening is it's not just handguns, it's rifles, shotguns, and ammunition. And at the last gun show, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, Bob Pucci's gun show in Waukesha, Wisconsin, the attendance was overwhelming. Friday night, they had more people than they usually would on a Saturday. Saturday was so busy, you couldn't walk down the aisles. And Sunday wasn't that much lighter. And the dealers were getting physically tired and worn out by the middle of the day Saturday. There were people standing in front of their table 10 deep waiting to fill out the background check information. And if it's a handgun, the background check is done in Wisconsin. If it's a rifle or shotgun, the check is done by phone with the FBI. And the wait for an FBI check had grown to over an hour, where normally it would only take seconds to have taken place because of the overwhelming number of sales, not just at that show, but all over the country.
Yeah. I took that from an Associated Press article saying that the 82% rise in purchases were for handguns, but they must not have done it for the other types of guns. Yeah, it says here, Tom Smith of Eagle was at a gun show. He purchased two handguns, a .22 caliber snub nose, and a .45 caliber semi-automatic. He did this just before the election when it became clear Obama would win. I bought them because I was afraid they were going to be outlawed. Is that fear legitimate?
Well, very definitely. And what we are seeing is kind of a return to the Bill Clinton days. The irony of it was, well, the Clinton administration supported gun control laws. Nobody prior to Obama has sold as many guns as did Clinton. What's happening now is the purchasing on guns and ammunition is outpacing the ability of the industry to resupply. And what we're seeing is not just the traditional gun owners buying more, but we're finding people who never before thought they would buy a gun deciding, well, I better get one before I might not be able to, or there might be such heavy restrictions or taxation. And in addition to that, you find other people, investors who are not traditional gun owners, buying guns, realizing that if an assault weapons ban were to return, the ones that are in society will, of course, continue to be legal, but their values will escalate tremendously. So it's a better investment than the stock market.
Kevin in Baraboo is with us now. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. My question is, there was a gentleman just recently in the State Journal. He shot and killed two people, wounded two others. He was a convicted felon for a gun offense in 2006. He went to the Dells, bought a 9mm pistol at a gun show. How can you justify not some sort of control over that?
Well, the answer, Joy, if I may direct that without your response, the answer is this one. I'm not familiar with the case whatsoever. And as I said earlier, the majority of the sellers at gun shows are federally licensed dealers, but not all. But when we take a look at the issue of gun control, what we've found out in the past 20 years, if a person is very objective and open-minded, we're finding out that gun control laws don't do anything to keep guns out of the hands of people that all of us would like to have guns taken away from. Keep in mind this, when the Brady Bill was passed, all that Sarah Brady wanted was a 7-day waiting period on the purchase of handguns only to give law enforcement, my first career, by the way, in law enforcement, but to give law enforcement the opportunity to do a background check if they wanted to and if they had the resources. It was NRA that came along with the idea that all firearms on their initial sale should be subject to a background check, be it handgun, rifle, or shotgun, with the purchaser paying the cost of the background check. Well, since that time, tens of billions of people have been checked, and many people have been prevented from being able to access guns, both at gun shows and at gun dealers. But nevertheless, when they're turned down there, they just go to the streets. Guns are as commonly available as crack cocaine or any other controlled substance.
Yeah, even if you're not, though, familiar with that specific case, Jim Fendry, nothing would stop a felon or someone who's mentally ill and shouldn't be buying guns from going to a gun show and getting one there, right?
Well, certainly a person could go to a gun show and find some individual that may not be a federally licensed dealer selling guns. Under federal law, any individual can legally sell all of his collection, sell part of his collection of guns, or actually buy and sell guns as long as it's not his primary livelihood. The statistics show it doesn't generally take place. The statistics developed not by NRA, not by the Brady campaign, but the United States Department of Justice in a variety of studies over the past decade show where criminals get their guns. And criminals and people who are using guns improperly get the guns, and let's call it generally from the streets. Do any show up at gun shows? Yes, some do come from gun shows. Something like 0.6%. And on occasion, some of those guns originally are sold at the gun show to somebody who even would have passed the background check, just the same as many of the dealers find guns that they have sold end up in a criminal misuse, but their initial sale was lawful. And one of the tragedies of spending all this money to check out the law-abiding citizens is that after the tens of billions that are spent on it and all the people that are caught by dealers and then denied the purchase, hardly ever are they prosecuted. They just walk with a warning, and they're unable to get the gun at the dealer. So they go to the criminal supplies.
No time for another call, but Kevin, did you have a follow-up?
No, that's fine. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much. We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will continue talking with Jim Fendry, director of the Wisconsin Pro-Gun Movement. We're talking about stories in the news these days about the sales of guns skyrocketing amid fears that an Obama presidency will mean tougher gun laws. We wonder what you think about all this, whether you're concerned about this or not. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. According to a recent Associated Press article, handgun purchases in Wisconsin rose 82% in the days before and after Barack Obama's election as president compared with the same period in November last year. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us on this Tuesday, November the 18th at 6:36. We are talking about the reports that gun sales are soaring at gun stores and gun shows here in Wisconsin and across the country. According to many reports, gun owners fear that an Obama presidency will mean tougher gun laws. We are talking about this issue with Jim Fendry, director of the Wisconsin Pro-Gun Movement, and welcoming your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. According to the chief lobbyist for the National Rifle Association, Chris Cox, which he wrote this in a Washington Post op-ed last month, Barack Obama would be the most anti-gun president in history, bar none. Jim Fendry, do you go along with that?
Well, clearly, not only has he a lengthy history, both in the Illinois legislature and in Congress, but he fully supports the UN view that honest citizens should not be allowed to own firearms. Barack Obama would have Americans living like people in most of the other countries of the world where their ability to possess guns is very, very limited, if at all. Although Barack Obama has said he believes in the Second Amendment, he also said it's subject to all types of restrictions. Well, that's sort of like saying that he believes in person's right to vote as long as they can pass a literacy test. When a person has a right to do something, as we do in America, both by our Wisconsin Constitution and the recent Supreme Court decision in Washington saying that the right to keep and bear arms is an individual right, that right shouldn't be subject to a precondition, but legislatures would do try.
Next, we go to Travis in Elk Mound. Hi, Travis.
Hi, how's it going today, Joy and Jim?
Pretty good. Go ahead.
Jim, I guess the thing that I'd like to comment and expand upon is what you said right before we went to break there about criminals and the availability of guns. The people that lobby for more gun control think that the things that they're going to institute are going to keep guns out of the hands of criminals, but I can tell you right now that if you gave me an hour, I could line up a handful of automatic assault weapons with minimal difficulty. And being one with my civil rights already been revoked, the availability of guns is very simple. And the people that are going to be out looking for those guns are probably not going to try to attain them through legal means, especially if they intend to use them for illegal purposes.
Yeah.
Well, clearly we all I think, realize that as well. In fact, we look at the gun issue. Some would have us call it a health issue, some a social issue. In truth, it's a marketplace issue. When anything is prohibited, such as guns to felons or other people that are prohibited by age or circumstance from being able to legally purchase and possess firearms, they merely go to the sellers. They've always been there. They'll always be there. There's always that huge danger of the unintended consequence, just as we've seen in our prohibition laws. And if we were to get to a state where the ownership of guns were highly restricted or prohibited, one of the unintended consequences would be the rise of illegal sellers in illegal markets. And then the criminals would easily be able to get guns as if it's not easy enough for them now.
Next, we go to Dave in Menominee. Hi.
Hi, good morning. I heard the same thing, before Clinton came in, and people were buying guns like crazy at the same time before Clinton was inaugurated. And your guest has already said more guns were sold under Clinton in through the Clinton years than any other time in recent history. I see this no more than any other scare tactics. The NRA is generating buyers by doing this. It's a big money thing. Like the guest has already said, no matter what laws would be on the book, somebody would be able to get a gun anyway. I think that there should be restrictions. There should be laws. People should be checked out. It's so that we don't have situations like somebody snapping and going, just being able to go to the store. Now, if they can't go to the store and get it, they're going to go to the street. That makes it more difficult. It also gives people time to rethink their criminal thoughts, let's put it that way. And I'm sorry, I lost my thought. I'd like to get your guest's thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, generally, I agree with the caller. And let's may I respond in reverse order. Back in the late 50s, Dr. Marvin Wolfgang, in a book that's still a standard for criminal psychology, had indicated that human beings, if they are prone to violence or homicide, are going to use the most efficient engine that's immediately available. If they can find a gun, they'll use a gun. If not that, a knife. If not a knife, a club. So we're really not stopping the misconduct or the act. Some of the laws, which NRA supports, because none of us believe there shouldn't be any gun control, or the only gun control that we oppose is the gun control that targets the honest citizens. That's the primary area there. Also, the caller's idea that it's a scare tactic, it's not a scare tactic, I can see how he feels it to be that. First, let me remark that the National Rifle Association is not the lobby organization for the firearm industry. The NRA represents just individuals. The firearm industry is represented by the National Shooting Sport Foundation. And what is happening is NRA is just being overwhelmed as well. They were up, I think, to approaching 5 million in membership, which is astronomical. And now people are coming into the NRA at just a huge number. They can't keep up with the applications. NRA doesn't have to spur the fear. People know what they're likely to see. I think the fear is continuing to grow. And once the first piece of legislation is introduced, it's just going to get worse.
I have an email from Dan in Madison who writes, I have worked as a police officer in Texas and currently work here in Wisconsin. In my nearly 10 years of being a police officer, it has been my experience that restrictive gun laws only hurt legitimate gun owners. Criminals still get guns of all makes if they want to. In fact, the city of Madison has a handgun ban in the city limits. I think they have a ban on selling handguns in the city limits. And every shooting incident, I respond to the suspect used a handgun. Your response, Jim Pendry?
Typically, it's true, but let me correct this. Sometimes people in Madison think former Mayor Soglin's old ordinance banning the sale of handguns is still valid. It's not. Back in 1995, the Wisconsin legislature passed the Firearms Uniformity Act, and in that law, they prohibit prohibit the enforcement of any ordinance that would deal with firearms, ammunition, reloading supplies, et cetera, unless there is a state statute that does the same thing. So Madison's ordinance does not exist. But the officer that called in reflects what happens across the nation. Let's stay in Wisconsin and let's go to Milwaukee. For decades, literally decades, the Milwaukee Police Association has always opposed restrictive gun laws. They realize that when the criminals think that their victims might be unarmed, it's a better hunting ground for the criminals at that particular point. All we generally see in the way of law enforcement opposition to the right to keep and bear arms and the exercise of that right usually comes from police chiefs and other CLEOs that have been politically appointed. You talk to a street cop anywhere along the line and he'll tell you the more guns out there, the better, because the criminals then won't know which victims are armed and which victims are not, which means that even the people who dislike guns are being protected, because when a criminal is out on the street and he's eyeballing some single woman and she looks at him and slowly opens her purse and puts her hand into it, he's not going to know whether she's going for her car keys, pepper spray, or a handgun. And in Wisconsin, there are more than enough Democrats, as well as almost all the Republicans, to pass a concealed carry law. The only reason we don't have it, one of two states, Illinois being the other, is the same thing as in Illinois. Our governor refuses to sign the bill and refuses to take the message that he's receiving from the Supreme Court.
We are talking with Jim Fendry, director of the Wisconsin Pro-Gun Movement, talking about the reports that Barack Obama's election has been good for gun sales. A lot of gun stores and gun shows in Wisconsin and around the country seeing a big boost in sales, not only of guns, but of ammunition and accessories, from those who fear that an Obama administration will mean more restrictive gun laws or perhaps even a tax on ammunition. We wonder what you think, what questions you have, if this is a fear of yours or not. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, November the 18th. Coming up after 7 o'clock, I'll talk with a guest about the prospects for an economic recovery package in the lame duck session of Congress that started this week, and also whether or not we'll see an auto company bailout as a part of that package. That's coming up in our next hour. Right now, we're talking about gun sales and how gun sales are surging in the wake of Barack Obama's election. And for that matter, here in Wisconsin, some also concerned about Democrats taking control of the state assembly. Jim Fendry is our guest, director of the Wisconsin Pro-Gun Movement, and Jeff in Weston is with us. Hi, Jeff. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
Couple of thoughts. First of all, the United States has a tradition of the government stepping in only when the private sector has failed, and I think that's the issue here about gun control laws. The fact is, people do perceive that guns in private hands are out of control. They do not constitute a well-regulated militia. The NRA is conspicuously silent when a gun disaster occurs, such as at Columbine or at Virginia Tech. The thing is that gun owners have to realize that they fit into a larger society. And when they, through their organizations, through their sales networks, cannot adequately control by themselves those people who would get guns and do harm, then someone else has to step in. Other governments, where you say, oh, that would be bad, you wouldn't have your guns. The fact is, gun-related crime is minimal compared to the United States. It's not a matter of taking guns away from law-abiding citizens and the criminals going crazy with guns. The criminals don't get guns in most cases there either.
I'm Jim Fendry.
Well, I hope I can remember a number of the things that the caller had said. The NRA, by the way, is never a group that would prostitute a tragedy such as Columbine for their own benefit. When the shooting occurred at Virginia Tech, the NRA did not come out and talk about the fact that the executives and the administrators at Virginia Tech, not even a year prior to that tragedy, boasted of how they were able to get the legislature to allow them to prohibit the carrying of concealed guns anywhere near their campus. Should somebody have had a concealed firearm that day on the campus, there might not have been as many people killed. Other thing that, and I'm trying to remember just the two other things.
Well,
that
I guess in essence that countries that have stricter gun control don't have criminals getting guns and going wild.
Well, the use of guns in other countries, it clearly is not as large as it is in the United States in violence. We're, as an industrial nation, we're not up that high. We're a little below the middle as far as violence and homicide goes. Great Britain with the United Kingdom, I should say, with a total ban on firearms, has fewer homicides, but they have a greater degree of violence than the United States does. Remember when I referred to Dr. Marvin Wolfgang's study, what has taken place is showing up again. When people can't get guns, they'll just revert to another engine. And in America, the horse is already out of the barn. Maybe you're there could be fewer guns used in crimes. If America had started prohibiting the possession of guns 200-some years ago, but right now, everybody's got a gun. Of course, some would, that's a little silly of a statement. I use it euphemistically. But what's really taking place in America is we're becoming more a nation of gun owners than ever before. In Wisconsin, when the voters had an opportunity to either approve or deny amending the state constitution to include a right to keep and bear arms, it was approved by the voters slightly over 80%. And such things take place every time there's a vote in the way of a referendum across the country. It's estimated today that there are some 400 million firearms in America. That's rifles, shotguns, and handguns, with another 10,000 or so coming in every year. And the old guns don't wear out. They don't disappear. They just stay there. And the guns that come in through domestic manufacture or through import just continue to add to the number of guns. And as I said earlier in the show, this phenomenon of people buying guns is not just traditional gun owners, hunters, and shooters. It's people who never thought they would own a gun that have decided, I better get one while I can.
Jeff's primary point, and just briefly since we have other callers, he just said the government needs to step in this issue of gun violence because the private sector hasn't been doing a good enough job.
Well, there are firearms are one of the most controlled objects or subjects in the United States already. The government stepped in a long, long time ago with a big step forward in 1968 and every year thereafter. They're already there. They're controlling the guns in many of the laws. Many, many of the laws have been brought about through the efforts of the NRA to control guns. Controls on armor-piercing ammunition came from the NRA. The background check idea came from the NRA. Mandatory penalties for violations and increased penalties for the use of firearms came from in crimes came from the NRA. There's a variety of gun control ideas that gun owners like and support. But when you take a look at a gun law, and what that gun law does is restrict only honest citizens' ability to possess, acquire, and use, and in no way affects the criminals, we oppose it.
Yeah. And why would it be so bad to have gun shows require the background check for a sale? Why would you oppose that?
Well, it's not that there's an opposition to that. We, as I said before, currently it's there because almost all the sellers are already federally licensed dealers. The reason that we, as the media reports, we or the NRA oppose legislation that has been introduced both in Wisconsin, other states, and nationally, is it doesn't limit it to a gun show. They like to call their bill the gun show loophole. The media calls it the gun show loophole. And you read the bill, and that means that a husband couldn't leave home and give his wife his Smith & Wesson revolver to use in her own defense. It means that fellows that are out at a shooting range wouldn't be able to transfer possession, albeit temporary, to another shooter to let him see what his gun is like to shoot at the targets. You have to look at what the legislation really does, not the headline that goes above it.
Jake and Oshkosh, hi, you're on the air.
Morning. Currently, it seems like this issue would be well off the United States agenda when it comes to what we need to do to progress our society. There are many other things that take precedence over this. So it seems to me that this is, a marketing scheme. Just the fact that, people are saying, oh, no, Barack Obama is going to take away your guns. You better get more. I mean, I would find it hard to believe that somebody wasn't thinking about making that an issue before the election. Hey, we can make a lot of money here.
Yeah, right. So this is this a marketing scheme, Jim Pendry?
No, the NRA, as I said, is not the is not the lobby group for the firearms industry. I think it's a natural reaction and a spontaneous reaction from citizens fearing what could possibly happen next. However, I do agree with the callers. It should be off the boards. In his book, Bill Clinton said the biggest mistake he ever made was taking on the NRA. And Jim Carville, in advising Democrats for many, many years, said he didn't like the idea of guns, but it's a lousy issue for Democrats. You have to keep this in mind. What the issue of gun control is about is not really about the issue of who can own guns. It's whether the citizens are able to own guns or not. The philosophy here is whether government should be the master of the people, in control, and untouchable, or whether citizens should still be able to possess firearms. So in the event the government gets out of control, they have the ability to resist when all else has failed.
And we're out of time, so we'll leave it there for now. Thank you, Jim Fendry, for being with us.
And thank you for the invitation.
Jim Fendry, director of the Wisconsin Pro-Gun Movement. I'm sure down the road we'll have another perspective on this issue on this program. Thanks to Rob Ferret for producing the hour. Thanks to Bill Martins and Cynthia Schuster for on-air production and direction. Thank you for listening. If you'd like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, you can call the radio store, 1-800-747-7444. You can also listen to our talk shows archived on our website through your computer. Our website is WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.